This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Jesus' visit to one home actually causes some friction, and Dr. Wyatt shares with us just what is the best part.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from Luke, the 10th chapter. We all know about Mary and Martha, and how Mary chose the best part. But what about Martha? I think you need to hear this.
Now as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. But Mary was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the best part, which shall not be taken away from her."
Thank you so very much, Sharon. This is a familiar story of two sisters, Mary and Martha, and of choosing the best part. This passage has literally been used for centuries to emphasize the importance of a life of prayer and contemplation, of studying God's Word, against the mundane and ordinary occupations of life. If you have been listening to me, you have to know that I am not going to see this in the usual way. Yes, there is more here than to see one person's work as spiritually more important than another. That is not how I see God's church or our faith, and neither did the New Testament. Paul, in particular, tells us the body of Christ does not consist of one member, but of many. Does the foot, an ear, or an eye say it does not need the other parts of the body? Or if it is not some other more illustrious part, that it doesn't consider itself part of the body at all? We are just never in a place where we can say to another member of God's people, "We have no need of you." On the contrary, those parts that are deemed weaker, less significant, less honorable, are actually invested with greater honor. That, at least, is how Paul speaks about God's church. But here Luke is dealing with the conventional expectations and how God is not about the usual, the ordinary, or even the expected. It is about a new way of looking at who we are, not about what others think of us. It is about what He brings to us and how He would lift us. It is not even about what we think of ourselves. It's about breaking the old molds. To help us, let us begin by looking at this small narrative Sharon has just read. We must be thankful for both the Marys and Marthas, and all those who fall somewhere in between. Where would we be without all kinds of people? People who might do the distasteful, the repetitive. Where would I be without a loving wife who cooks and cleans, provides a comfortable home with all the modern amenities? Of course, like us all, she too at times feels put out, unappreciated, especially when my mind is elsewhere, probably on something I'm writing, and then I failed to express my appreciation for all that she does. But all of her entertaining at home is never to such a point as to overlook the role as a hostess, and much of it is a ministry, even prophetic at times, to help and encourage others. She seems to be able to balance it all extremely well. But I have known those, as I'm sure you have as well, who get so busy they leave no time for the Lord. Those in our churches who are everywhere involved with this project or that one, giving to this thing and serving all at the same time. You could say the Lord has their time, money, and life, but does the Lord have their attention? Last week we heard of the priest and Levite who had no time for the badly beaten man on the road. They had their reasons. Perhaps they were good ones to them. The brigands could still be nearby. They could be accused of some kind of involvement in this sordid event. And then, of course, there was the necessity to purify oneself after possible defilement. This did involve a lot of time and a lot of effort. Martha, too, had her reasons, and they were good ones to her. She had her own expectations, her priorities that trapped her in the kitchen. We can always find reasons, rational explanations, such as family, job, good works, and they can, if we let them, push our Lord to the side. But is that the only thing at play here? With anything that involves Jesus, there is always more. The casual and what would be superficial interpretations will always miss a lot. This can all too easily be passed off as Jesus complimenting the one sister Mary and her choice at learning at his feet, that it is far better to seek to study God's word, to be in constant prayer, and to primarily seek what has been called the contemplative life, over against the active and practical life. But is that the only thing we can gain from this narrative? Obviously not. I believe it is also about a genuine listening to God's word, and also about our Lord's radical departure in his ministry from the normal and customary responses to who he is and thus what he has called them to and us as well. Mary in our story here shows herself as one who is absorbing the words of Jesus. She is engrossed, fascinated, and thrilled with what he is saying. As I have tried repeatedly to underscore, Jesus was not the usual rabbi. Here was no ordinary teacher, not even the expected prophet, but much more. Martha is busy doing, and there is nothing wrong in what she is actually doing. She's preparing food for her guests. There is never anything wrong in doing for others, to be active in the service of others, being a proper host or hostess. But she is not listening to what is also needful for her. Believe me, the house where all this is occurring cannot be large. She could overhear, even take time away from what she was doing to listen more intently, to drink in all that the words of Jesus could imply for her. But you see, Martha doesn't have time for that. Her efforts do not fit well with what Jesus truly wants in her life. Her efforts are at odds with the welcome, the embrace, the warmth of hospitality that Jesus would desire from her. She is distracted and fretting over what can wait or be done at a more leisurely pace. You see, the man teaching in the other room is special. How many of us, if we knew it was Jesus in the other room teaching, would spend all of our time preparing a meal? Of course, we would all love to fix for him the very best meal. Still, you would have to delay, find time to listen, hear all that he had to say. We would all want to be part of that audience. And this is the best part. We would do this because it is Jesus. And so should Martha. But she has put aside any recognition of who Jesus really is to be that perfect hostess. Jesus would say to her in the kindest way, "Martha, Martha, don't worry about all these things. Only a few things are needed, and most things can wait a while. You are missing the best part. This is what your sister has chosen, and this will always be with her. Don't try to take this rare and unique opportunity away from her." But even beyond that, we have revealed once more this new community, this new concept of God's kingdom that Jesus would call us to. Here is also the sight of a woman who has left the women's quarters, the woman's role, and joined the men. We have here a woman assuming, even preferring, the role of a disciple. And we have in Jesus' remarks to Martha, serving to vindicate Mary's unusual presence in an area not normally acceptable for a woman. Again, the usual is not what we find in the presence of Jesus. Here all, again I emphasize all, are granted access and a place at his feet. All that usually has been seen as those separated and privileged in God's plan and purposes have been turned upside down. The lame, the blind, the poor, the outcast, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, the lepers, and now, yes, women, are all included, all accepted at the feet of Jesus. It is still surprising to me that many Christians, and those who should really know better, endeavor to exclude certain classes of people from places of responsibility or leadership, as if this was something Jesus practiced or Paul condoned and was not something that arose from an ancient culture, where even to this day in certain Orthodox groups, men pray, "Thank you, Lord, that I was not born a Gentile or a woman," as if God is any respecter of persons. Yes, women were taught the law in the first century, but primarily only that which affected them as women, and was usually that which was shared with her by her own mother, part of a natural mother-daughter relationship. This is not to say that women were not often learned, or that a rabbi may not have extended his teaching to include a woman, but this was clearly not the rule. When you understand the culture of both the Greco-Roman world and Jewish society, you begin to realize how unique and even radical was much of the teaching of early Christianity. The male priesthood is a later capitulation and undermines the great Christian truth of the priesthood of all believers. Women in the early church were accepted in the assembly as equals. There is to be in Christ no distinctions, be it social status, racial, or gender. And indeed, that freedom was abused in some congregations, and Paul spoke for the limitations of certain behavior and styles, only because in the wider culture it would be misunderstood and bring disrepute upon the truth of the gospel. That is why Paul insists that women cover their heads. It was a cultural thing, and most churches today recognize that. Few require a woman to put something on her head when entering their church building or leading in prayer. Obviously, even a cursory glance at the scriptures used so often in this debate reveal an unusual freedom for women in an age when few were formally schooled and fewer accepted by men as their peers. Paul usually gets a bad reputation in this regard. Yet his salutations in his letters are filled with glowing remarks about women, referring to brothers and sisters in the Lord, and of women that have helped him and shared in his ministry. And then there is Phoebe, who is clearly called a deacon, and if we translate protasis as it would be if connected to a man's name, she would be more than a benefactor, but one who presides or rules. Please, I know all the arguments on all sides, and I have no wish to argue concerning anyone's sincere beliefs, But allow me to say, there is a flexibility with Hellenistic Greek and with how some translations twist the Koine Greek and reinforce only one view. It follows that we must be less dogmatic in any position and sense how God would wish to use the very best any of us have to offer His kingdom. Who are we to deny to take away the best part from anyone and the best part in all and in anything God has for us? He is no respecter of persons, and we should be able to recognize God's anointing, no matter race, gender, or style. The greatest preacher I have ever sat under was an unlettered, at least unlettered formally, black woman. There was no one I have ever heard more inspired, more profound, more astonishing in the pulpit than Cora Champion. And yes, I know all the scriptures which would question what I say. But remember Jesus with Martha and her sister at his feet as a disciple. Paul said it well. There is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Why put up artificial barriers we know are cultural, like long hair, head coverings, and gold braids? We all know when someone has the Word of God and is inspired. And it is not always the man or woman ordained by some human organization. The greatest, most profound words from God can come from the simplest people, even someone you consider insignificant, when actually no one is. Oh, choose the best part and embrace all who will come to Him. My Lord, may we never cease to seek the best part and never deny it to any other human being. For You are indeed there to guide us, mold us, touch us, and to make us anew. For it is all about Your kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. It is about Your glory forever. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Once again, the unique and even radical nature of the ministry of Jesus is presented in this short narrative. How different our world would be without the effect of the life and ministry of this one solitary man. No wonder we call Him Lord and Savior, and why His words still resonate down through the centuries. To further your appreciation of this man, Dr. Wyatt is offering this week his book, No Man Spoke Like This Man. Here is an insightful study of the amazing presence and impact of the words of Jesus Christ upon all who would hear. If you have yet to ask for your copy, please do so. Simply write and ask for No Man Spoke Like This Man. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, we are so thankful for you, our listeners, and we pray that even in these financially challenging times, you will consider being a part of this outreach. By helping support the Wings of Healing with a gift large or small, you keep us on this, your radio station, proclaiming the gospel. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. We need all the gifts and ministries, even those we don't think much of. We just need the proper priorities. As this from Shirley of North Carolina, who is so thankful that Becky has got out of her former toxic work environment and found a wonderful new job. It's just someone seeking the right situation and everything falling into place. Praise the Lord. And we too want to thank God. And if you need prayer, please do write. Dennis will provide our addresses at the close of the broadcast. But now Sarah Groves sings again, Abide With Me. And until next we meet, may we all find the best part.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the
is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week his book, No Man Spoke Like This Man. There is so much we can glean from the encounters of our Lord with those who seem to be in authority and how they reacted. For clearly, no man spoke like this man. This book can be yours at no charge. Just write or contact us on the internet. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.